We're thankful to have a visiting minister with us today, and many of us know Brother John Schlafly. He's from our Portland church, Woodstock Bible Church, and we'd ask that you would keep him in your prayers and that you would open your heart to God's Word. We'd like to welcome you. We're thankful that you're willing to share God's Word with us for this day.
It is a blessing to be here. I think since the last time I stood behind this pulpit, my hair changed color. So it's been a while. I think it's probably when 1998 was the last time I was here for a service. It's actually to preach. Before we start, let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, again, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today. We thank you that your word's alive and can still convict and convince us of our need of a Savior. We're thankful that your word teaches us how we should live our lives as we wait for that great day when Jesus will return to claim his bride. We just pray for each person that's here today. We pray that you would have prepared us all to listen to your word and to hear it spoken by you through me. We just thank you for everything now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm having a little trouble with the time change. I woke up this morning and looked at my watch. It said 12 o'clock. Well, that's Portland time, so that was still pretty early. And I was thinking about what the message might be about this morning, but I wanted to share a little bit this morning about who I am. For those of you, you know, I got some familiar faces out here. Back in 1968, there was a young man that put all of his earthly possessions in the trunk of his car, and he headed from the Washington, D.C. area to Akron, Ohio. I had a place to stay. I got a job. But I came here for a specific purpose. I wasn't trying to get away from home. I wasn't trying to hide from anybody. I was coming here because I knew that I needed to live my life for Jesus Christ. And I knew in the situation I was in at home with the friends that I'd had and the fact that I had no male companionship in the church, that I needed a place that I could call home and a place that could love me. And that was this church. This church on Barberton, in Barberton on Brown Street. 45 years ago, I was announced as having peace with God. December 22nd, 1968, I was baptized along with Mike Maletich, Susie Relgen, Carla Schlafly, Carla Tanosky, who became my wife, and myself. And I was laying in bed this morning thinking about that. And I was thinking about being down in that old basement at the Barberton Church and going through the baptismal service and actually being baptized. And I remember Paul Webel coming up to me with a piece of paper. And on it was written something like 216 or 217. That's the time that I was baptized. And he gave it to all the converts that day. Everybody got a sheet of paper. I wish I would have kept it, Paul. I'm sorry that I didn't keep that. But I think about it often. Because he was just a young lad then. And he used to call me Illinois. Illinois, because when I was at camp, I had a shirt on that said Illinois. And so they called me Illinois. But even before that, Youth Rally Weekend, 1968, I was coming to town with a couple of my friends, and my reputation preceded me, and I wasn't the person that people would really like to have in their homes. And so there was a dilemma with the committee that was giving out places to stay. And they didn't know what to do with me. And Ronnie and Arlene, with all their children, opened their home. We didn't end up staying there, but it never misses for me to think about the fact that they were willing to love a God that was unlovely. You know, and that's what Jesus does for all of us. He loves all of us who are unlovely. And he wants us to be a part of his family. So this church and the people here, and I can see that the years have passed. As the years have passed and my hair color has changed, and I can't do all the things that I used to. But I know that God is good. And I know that we have a reward waiting for us in heaven. I'm going to read this morning out of Ephesians 5. I'm going to talk about walking with God. Because I think that when I made that choice in my life to put my past behind me and open up that new avenue for Jesus Christ, that from that time on, for the past 45 years, I've been walking with God. And I know that I haven't always pleased Him, and I know I haven't always taken the direction that He's led me. But I know that we have a God that's willing and able to forgive and to love us in spite of who we are. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 17 verses. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Jesus, as Christ also loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sweet sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, ye who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I've been thinking about that walk that I've had for the past 45 years, and I know that I've had the opportunity over the years to share with what God has done for me through Jesus Christ with a lot of my friends who I thought I couldn't live without back in the day. And as I look at their lives and see where their lives have taken them without Jesus, and seeing where my life has taken me with Jesus, they wouldn't want to take their life over. They'd like to trade with me. And they still could. They couldn't go back, but they still could accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life and come down the home stretch with Jesus. One of the things that you don't want to leave this world with is you don't want to go without is without Jesus. If you're going to take something out of this world, the only thing you can take is the hope of eternity through Jesus Christ. Everything else is going to be left behind. You know, and over the years in ministry, in the last 33 years, I've done a lot of funerals. And when people start talking about how much money the person had that died or how successful they were in life, my comment to them always is, I've done a lot of funerals, and I've never seen the Brinks truck following the hearse yet. Not once have I seen that. So I want to talk this morning about walking with God. And we're encouraged to walk with God as we look at this scripture. And it's recorded that Noah walked with God in Genesis 6, verse 9. Abraham was instructed by God to walk before me and be perfect in Genesis 17:1, and God also promised to walk among his people. I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people, Leviticus 26:12. And in Genesis 5:24, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. And when I think about walking with God, it's not a one-sided thing. What does God want more than anything else? He wants to be with you and be in your life and walk beside you as you face the challenges of life. Enoch experienced that to the fullest. Enoch did everything that God wanted him to do. He loved God. He wanted to be a part of God. He wanted God to control his life. And God took him because he was perfect. He was perfect. He probably wasn't perfect in the way that Jesus was perfect, but compared to everybody else that was living at that time, He was perfect, and God took him. I think about that in my life and in your life. Would that ever happen to us? Are we ever to that point in our life where God can just say, come on, let's go? I'm reminded of an old Baptist preacher that was having a service one day, and he was asking the people in his congregation, who wants to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Everybody shot their hand up. And one little boy, he had his hand, he was sitting there like there was his hands crossed. And the pastor said, little boy, don't you want to go to heaven? And he said, well, of course I do, but I was thinking you were making a load up to go right now. So I want you to think about that. Is there something that you're holding on to so hard and so long that you don't want to go? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to put aside the pain and the agony and the disappointments and the discouragement sometimes we have in life. I'm ready to put aside all the things that have been creeping into this society that are against Scripture. And I'm wondering in my own mind, how long is it going to be till Jesus comes back? We need to be ready for that day. Our Christian walk is and should be our lifestyle. There are several things that we read about this morning in Scripture that in the text that I read this morning that tells us we need to walk with God. And I'm going to talk about some of those things this morning that came out. The first one was in the second verse that we read, walk in love. How do you do that? How do you do that? And I was thinking about that as I laid in bed this morning for those 3 hours before it was time to get up. And I realized that the Barberton Church and the people that were in that church, and there's people in this audience today that I recognize from those days and I've become friends with over the years. Those people walked in love. They walked in love toward me. You want to know why I came to Christ? I wasn't afraid of George Friend's sermon on Friday night at Eastern Camp. I wasn't afraid of that. I went out like it didn't even faze me. But you know what really worked in my life? The fact that people who knew I was unlovely loved me and prayed for me, and they told me that. They told me that. And I know that when I came here and I left everything I knew behind, there were people here that loved me unconditionally. Because you know what they wanted from me more than anything else in the world? They didn't want me to be successful. They didn't want me to be some great person or some great orator. They wanted me to come to know Jesus as my Savior. And by God's grace, I was able to do that. In a time when people in my own church said, how could that have happened to you so quick, John? How could you have changed from who you were to who you are now? And I wasn't changed. I was regenerated. I was born again because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. So walk in love. Consider Christ's love for us. Show that love to each other and those we come in contact with each day of our lives. The second part we read, the second thing I thought about when we walk with God is we need to walk in newness of life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Remember your old life. You died to it. I died to that. I've told people that I've come in contact with when they ask me a little bit about my life and who I am and people that knew me before, and I say, I don't want to go back to that. I had enough heartache and disappointment in those short 20 years that I lived without Jesus. I don't need to go back to that. I don't want to go back to that. I want to walk in newness of life, the hope that we can have through Christ. The question we need to ask when we think about that, have your motives and your actions changed? Do the things we involve ourselves in have eternal value? I think about that often in my life. When the things that I do, what's the eternal value in that? What will please God through that? Or am I doing it to please myself? Newness of life means that your focus is that you want to do what pleases your King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our scripture says in verse 8 that we read today that we need to walk in the light. Walk in the light. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Are we walking in light? Do we allow this to be our light, our roadmap, our guide as we walk through life? Matthew 5:14-16, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Are we doing that in our lives through our light? Are we glorifying our Father in heaven? Back in Portland, I just had a series of sermons on our mission statement. Glorify God. Love as Jesus loved. Serve as Jesus served. Reach our world as Jesus did and uphold His Word. And the young people, after I got done, said, well, what's our mission? And I'm going, where were you for the last how many weeks it took me to preach those sermons? Glorify God. Because when we're the light of the world, we glorify Him. We must put away our human attitudes and habits that separate us from God. We are commanded to function as lights of the world. One thing light does is exposes sin. And the other thing about light is there's no life without light. Nothing in this world that we know can live without light. And we as God's people will not live without the light of Jesus Christ in our life. The fourth thing I want to share is we need to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's hard to explain that to somebody. That I believe in a God that I cannot see. I believe in a Son who came to the earth and shed His blood, and I haven't seen that. What I have seen in my life is what it says in God's Word. And we believe that's the inerrant Word of God. There's no mistake in it. And what I have seen is it changes people's lives. By faith. Faith will change your life. Faith in Jesus Christ. I heard a story about a little boy that was lost. 6 or 7 years old. Somehow he'd gotten lost. He didn't know where his house was. He didn't know how to get back. And he was sitting on a street corner crying. The policeman came by and said, little boy, what's the matter? And he says, I'm lost. I don't know how to get home. And he says, well, do you know any landmarks? Is there anything that's close to your house or near your house that you can tell me and maybe we can go there? And the little boy looked at the police officer and he says, you know that church downtown with the cross in front? And the policeman says, yeah, I know that church. He says, take me to the cross and I can find my way home. How many of you need to go to the cross to find your way home? Walk in faith. You need faith. I know a man in Oregon that is one of the kindest men I know. And I sat with him in his house. And I've talked to him about the Lord. And he looks at me and he says, I know. He said, but I just cannot believe. And I can't make him believe. I can't get him to that point. I don't know what it's going to take in his life to get him to that point. But the Bible says that In the verse that I read, we walk by faith, not by sight. Until he receives that faith, until he can believe what it says in here is applicable to his life, he won't be saved. And that bothers me. And I wish I could do it for him, but I cannot do it for him. I can't do it for anyone. Neither can you, but you have to be able to do it and willing to do it for yourself. Every day we can start out as an unknown journey with God. Every day is an unknown journey. We need to continue to trust His sovereign will and believe His hand is on us at all times. And one of the things that's so blessed about walking with Christ and walking with the Lord is we know our destination. We know where we're going. We don't need a GPS. We don't need to call for directions. You know, we have a car now that we call into OnStar, and they send the directions back to the radio, and as we're going down the road, they say, in 700 feet, you need to turn left. We don't need that because we know where we're going. Verse 15 in our reading. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk in wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. The things that you've learned in your life, apply that to the Scriptures and to your hearts. Wisdom is a gift from God. It says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all, liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Do we ask God for wisdom? Are we walking in wisdom? There's a verse in Scripture that says, bad company corrupts good character. Is it wise to hang out with people that are going to corrupt your character? You know, that was my problem. I hung out with guys that corrupted my character. I knew better. I knew what God wanted for me in my life. I wasn't ready yet because my character had been corrupted. And I needed people to love me and to show the way to me. Wisdom helps us live our lives with caution. This verse also said, circumspectly, not as fools, considering all circumstances and possible consequences of your action. And you know, it's really a blessing to have your son as a preacher. Because sometimes I sit in the pews and he starts bringing up stuff that happened when he was a kid. One day John was preaching and he said, whenever I was tempted to do something that I knew that Dad wouldn't like, he said, I had to always think about what the consequence was going to be if Dad found out. And he said, if it wasn't too bad, then I probably would go ahead and do it. But if I knew it was going to have serious consequences to me, then I wasn't going to do it. I think we need to think about our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ who sits at His right hand like that too. What are the consequences going to be? You know, He's not going to strike us down when we make a mistake, but there will be consequences. There's consequences for sin. Last week or 2 weeks ago at church, I preached a sermon on the fact that hell is real. And that was difficult to prepare. Because when you think about the consequences of a person's life who totally rejects Jesus his whole life and then leaves this life without him, imagine the impact that must have. I used the scripture in Luke where the beggar died and went to Abraham's bosom. We need to talk about things like that because it seems like nothing else is reaching people the way it should. They need to think about what the consequences are. The last one I want to talk about this morning is walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. if your life is motivated by the Holy Spirit, you will not, it says, fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if it's not motivated by the Spirit, we'll come up with all kinds of reasons or excuses why we can do the things we want to do. And then John 16:13 says, however, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Jesus had told his disciples he was going away. Jesus was telling them that they were going to be empowered from on high. Jesus was telling them that they needed to listen to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is our guide against sin. The Spirit, the Bible says, will guide us in all truth. And the Spirit is the source of our power. How many times have you tried to do something on your own? How many times have you said to yourself, well, I know how to do that, I can do that, and haven't hit your knees to ask for God's direction? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said before he was taken to heaven, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You shall receive power. John 1:14, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God through the Spirit. As we think about those things, and I think that God has really spoken to me. We have a lot of choices in life. We have too many choices. We have a lot of distractions. We have too many distractions. Our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Talked about walking in love, in newness of light, and walking in light and in faith and wisdom and the Spirit. The question this morning is, as we consider these things, is this your lifestyle? If you remember when I said at the beginning, before I started into the Scripture, that our Christian walk is our lifestyle. Is this your lifestyle? Is this how you walk? Is this important to you? Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, maybe that's a verse we should put on a card and stick it on our sun visor or on our dashboard in our car. Because we spend a lot of time in our cars. We have a lot of time to think about where we're going and what we're going to do. And maybe we should remember that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I want you all to know that I appreciate the opportunity for me to share this morning. I appreciate being in front of some old familiar faces, some faces that I've come to love over the years. And I know that whenever I come here, I feel your love because of what Jesus did for all of us. And in closing, I just want to say that, talk about the Christian walk in a statement I want to make. The Christian walk, his daily conduct, is more important than the Christian's talk. It is the Christian walk that authenticates his talk. We must walk before the Lord in such a manner that will change the world, that will cause the world to be attracted to the secret that makes our life different. If you want your life to be different and have meaning, than walk with the Lord.
I want to take a moment to thank you, Brother John, for the message. We have been powerfully reminded that walking with Jesus is the best exercise that we can have. And I would just say, though, that when we walk with the Lord, we do need GPS. We need God's perfect Son in our lives. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, that's why we're here. Please talk to one of us. And Johnny, I hope it's not another 15 years and after your hair has fallen out before you return to us again. I'd like to call Joe forward to have a concluding song. And then afterwards, Chris, if you would come forward and lead us in a concluding prayer and include the lunch in that prayer. Thank you, Joe.